Yeah, I was very interested actually in the definition, in the way you were trying to define materiality, and I also the fact that, for instance, you included authors like Harman and Bryant and Meyasu, and what struck me is that there seems to be quite a quite a difference between. Should I go ahead or not?
Yeah, please. Yeah, I mean, just wanted to get the light out of my eyes so I could see.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. I just thought it was interesting how there seems to be a gap between their definitions, i.e., of Bryant and so on, of materiality and perhaps what has been talked about here. And so I assume that's sort of an example of what you were saying just now of how the rhetoric is quite distant, perhaps, from the definition.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert on Meyasu or Harman or any of the rest of them, but like everyone else, I read them because everyone reads them. But it certainly seems to me like they could lead in very different directions. And especially, since you mentioned this, I find especially interesting and problematic is the literary taste of some of these people. I mean, Meyasu has written on Mallarmé, that's fine. But Harman has written on H.P. Lovecraft and defending him in a weird way, a really weird way. Anyway, there's an issue of what kind of art, what counts as interesting art for them, too.
I want to ask a really dumb question.
Please.
Okay, and it has to do with what has always been my problems with Bild Kunstwissenschaft. And the question is, why is it necessary to have a general theory of images in the same way one has a general theory of relativity? And as...
One does, yeah.
Well, we have it, whether it exists, okay? But a general theory of images cannot be, by analogy, like the general theory of relativity. And even the very term image, the term image as it's been actually used, is of course not the same thing as imago, which immediately puts us in the framework of subjectivity, psychoanalysis, and so on. And because none of this, whether it's phenomenological or whether, as you say, Hans Belting's concern with the body, seem to have any relation to sexual difference or any kind of difference when it's essentialized as the body, the viewer, the regarder, I want to go back to my dumb question and say, what is the need for and what is the desire for a general theory of images?
Yeah, no, I mean, I, what can I say? I would say it right. I think this is exactly the right question to ask, the desire, as opposed to analytically the need for it. And can I just say that I think much, much, much more is erased than just gender when you get to that level of abstraction.
Exclusion.
Yeah, that's what I meant. And when you get to that level, when you're talking about something that abstract in that way. This is a question like we've all been, you know, mulling over. My only contribution to it is psychological or psychoanalytic. I would like to inflect it in that way. Instead of thinking of it as, instead of asking what's the, like young like art historians tend to do, I'm now going to use the theory of, Foucault to describe this as if it's analytically appropriate. Instead of asking that, it might be better to ask, why do I feel that this is the appropriate theory? Because from there you can ask, why are you excluding in these directions, these different things? On the other hand, so can I play, I'm agreeing with you, but I also think that you can do this, you can think of this in a devil's advocate way. What if that student, graduate student I mentioned who wanted to write about José Muñoz, what if he only wrote about José Muñoz and he just refused to read any more Judith Butler or anything like that? There would be, what I'm thinking, I'm trying to use this as an example of the opposite motion. In other words, you can have a problem if you get too far away from your enabling theories. Your account can become idiosyncratic or not so useful or illegible in different ways.
Sorry, I just have a pretty simple question because I know the symposium was about pictures, but I feel like visual studies don't study very much issues of design and everyday objects, architecture, for instance, also. So what do you think about that? Is there a missing point in the field or a blind spot?
Yes. Yeah, that's another blind spot to go with Abigail's one. What could I say about that? It is a theme sometimes for people in visual studies. It's a theme whether or not they should continue to use oil paintings by dead white males as their central example of all images, right? That is a theme. People do talk about that. I don't think they make huge progress on it. But when it comes to other things like question of architecture and design, there in Anglo-American visual culture, it's always a problem to get enough, a little bit of architecture in, a little bit. It's not so much in German language writing. That would be one of the differences that you might want to explore. But these are institutional issues. They're known at that level. But in my experience, not so much theorized as in that sense, but they're practical institutional issues.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something about general theory because I think I'm the one who introduced it into the abstract of our panel discussion. And I share the kind of uneasiness of most art historians with this term, but they introduced him not with regard to general theory of relativity, but to the more recent book of A General Theory of Visual Culture. So there are people around who write books in our field and claim that they offer a general theory, and in this case I think it's also a very substantial claim. And I want to respond to your question, what is the desire behind referring to a general theory, or not as something that maybe already exists, but what we strive to, what kind of ambition to work on a more kind of systematic approach. And for me, the best example was Christopher's talk, because he could make transparent to me this very intricate, difficult ideas about the functioning of these images in a specific practice by alluding or referring to more general claims about the relationship between pictoriality and visuality. So I think if we start from the very beginning with this kind of very skeptical attitude towards the very possibility of having a more systematic conversation, for sure we will never have one. But if we start with the actual problem, how to analyze ideas about images that are not familiar to us. And to me, most of the ideas about images in the history of art are not familiar. I'm a modernist. I only know my small, a little bit my small province. So, and if we start with this desire to have a conversation between different fields and not turning art history into some kind of discipline where medievalists, modernists, specialists of Japanese art, and others, they can't talk with each other anymore. I think then this desire, it's a very legitimate desire, and it has nothing. It's not a desire that we maybe should use in psychoanalytic terms, but more as a kind of Socratic desire. And that the question, what is an image, is a Socratic question in the sense it's disruptive. It disrupts our daily routine. And it might help us to get a kind of speculative, open conversation, to have this kind of conversation.
Yeah, no, that's very well said. That's very eloquently put. The only thing that I would say is that when you say right at the end disruptive, I think you could point to historical times and places. I was thinking of someone like Benjamin, for whom that wouldn't be the first word would come to mind. So there's a different historical situation that enables these anxieties, and that so maybe psychoanalysis is not necessary, but psychology I would still think would be, and that's why I took that word viable. Are they viable? because it's another word I couldn't quite imagine. Well, Riegel wouldn't have, you know. So anyway, that was the, that would be my only addition. But yeah, that's a very nice defense of it, and that's what I was trying to suggest with the inadequate example of the José Muñoz scholar, because the opposite of doing that, what Christopher did, the opposite of that is to live in your own truncated local conceptualization universe, and then of course you're not addressing these big issues. But that, and I'll add one thing to that though, and that is that all these texts we've been talking about, and you were just alluding to Whitney Davis's text, but all of these, you know, Belting is a great example of this. They're all enabled by stepping to some degree outside of a named discipline. And for me, one of the most interesting things about Belting is how he would locate himself now, because he's now, it's the Global Art Museums project is not an art history. It's not really a sociology. It's not really a philosophy. It's almost an anthropology of a different sort. But I would say this differently about each person, including Whitney and David Summers. You have to produce an odd, maybe unconceptualizable distance between yourself and the object of your attention before you can make these claims that are later useful. So
my question is kind of a version of Ralph's, and I think you're absolutely right to ask the question, why this desire? But I do wonder if that's partly an overdetermined question, because I would maybe ask where you see the desire and how it is given a younger generation of scholar writing today who doesn't seem as anxious as you might be describing about this question. I mean, is this a generational desire? So where are you seeing it? Where is the anxiety?
Like to ask Ralph first, because actually this came up first in something you said when you were thinking a little bit about Bildwissenschaft and how to characterize it, that that some of this conference would be a setting in which this would be something that we would all think about. In other places, it wouldn't be. So there would be ways of thinking about that way that... Anyway, it depends on where you would want to go with what kind of answer would be an answer to that question. Because some of the answers would be, well, if I go to I'm hesitating. I don't want to name an art history department, but we all know some in which these kind of questions that we've all been entertaining would be look ill-advised from the very beginning, and there would be certain problems in getting a conversation like this started. On the other hand, we all know also philosophy departments where it would be too eagerly welcomed, and all of the details of our inquiries would be erased in order to get on with the business of assimilation or something like that. So it would depend on the direction of the answer. And one last thing is that it's not so much the desire that I want to point to, it's the what I've been calling anxiety, but the concern would be a better word, that we're concerned about this. Does it fit? When does it fit? And that's the thing that I think hasn't always been around in the discipline. So.
Yeah, although I guess I would just modulate concern by saying, and by echoing what Ralph said, but by describing it more as an interest and a curiosity. I mean, sure. I think concern is too much like anxiety, and I think there's a certain kind of openness and curiosity on the part of you know, younger generations of scholars that don't get so tangled up in worrying about these matters. This is not to say they're not absolutely important. Obviously, you know, this conference is about these questions, but curiosity, I think, would be a way to modulate that.
Operational question, since I got hooked here. So what I find more interesting than the definitory approach is to nail down what is the groundwork we should all think about. I think we recently moved more towards the operational questions, how we actually, in making decisions, how we might exclude or include things. And those paradigms, I think, increase, like, if I think now about the future, where I want to think in the future ahead, I wouldn't ask the what is an image question, but I would ask, if I ask question about the image, what do I not include? Mm-hmm. And how do I make these questions? And these questions are for each of us in the entire room different. And how do we then define ourselves as a collective discipline? Is there still a common ground, or in making these decisions are actually really interesting divisions that divide you and me, or me and Ralf, or you and me? And I think that's where we could get to if we continued not saying rethinking pictures, but perhaps pre-thinking questions.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly right. And also, just to give it a practical, pragmatic turn, that whether or not you admit to being interested in these depends also on where you are in your career, in life, in what university, in what department, and when it's a good idea to mention them and when it's not.
Yeah, I want to address the last point about introducing new concepts to the study of images. So I was wondering, I haven't obviously read the book that's about to be published, but my worry there would be that, you know, to select words from different traditions and then through these words to describe cultures that are more close to me, that might perhaps miss the whole structure, metaphysical structure that surrounds these words, especially when you use different words from different cultures at the same time, as I think you are in that book. So I'm thinking, being here in Paris, I'm thinking of someone like Philippe Descola, who's been working for the last 10 years on something like the translation of the after nature concept of different natures in different metaphysics, and translate it into visual, into a theory of figuration, and that I'm not really sure. I haven't seen the exhibition that was here a few years back. I just read the two or three papers he published on this, but there it seems to me that it might be more promising because he's actually like taking like a whole metaphysics or ontology. That includes an ontology of image, and through it to look at our culture or to different world cultures might be, might be more viable, or I don't know. What do you think?
It's a huge, huge, long conversation, this. I could only say that everything depends on context. How wide is your context? You say a whole metaphysics or a whole ontology. This is the perennial problem of context. And this critical terms for art history text was an example for me because putting, say, a Japanese term in would clearly be inadvisable in that context. But I don't think, logically, you can avoid that step. You can't step like François Julien, for example. You can't take a big leap and then jump in swimming pool. You know, I don't think it would work that way. I think it's impossible to avoid, what Derrida used to call violence. You're doing something when you're taking these texts. But the gesture that we're making is that we're aware of a list of problems with our strategy, but we are alert to new kinds of meanings that will come up. And we want to make sure that we don't become the 1,000th book to talk about this issue, but to actually do something. So,
I think we have to close. Thank you. So, in the name of our host here, I believe we are invited for a drink upstairs. Thank you to all the participants. Thank you to our colleagues. Thank you to Lucy and Jennifer Naylor for helping this come alive. And I think it sounds like a beginning of collaboration, and that's probably what would be the best thing that can happen. So thank you.